So we are gathered here virtually in front of the image of Mishkan Tzipora for the Tuesday night Gemara Shir. So the first thing we have to do, where's Saul Haber? Well, here we go, fellas.
Well, that's nice.
L'chaim, everybody, pour yourself one, and we'll drink to your health. And those of you near...
My camera's still working yet?
What?
My camera working now?
Not
Where
yet,
Where did that picture come from?
The internet machine.
Oh, look at that.
That's not my collection at home. So, l'chaim to everyone, and to your good health. And to Howard's the only one that can raise a glass. Shame on you. L'chaim, I'll give you
my workspace is chametz free.
Oh, chametz free. L'chaim. So and
you can there's kosher Pesach vodka.
Yeah. So anyway, mitzvah Hashem, we will gather again in person next week or the week after or sometime soon. Baruch Atah Hashem.
L'chaim.
L'chaim. Okay. So here we are, Rosh Hashanah Lamed Bet Omud Aleph. You see the daf in front of you. You might have a Gemara in front of you anyway, but here's the daf. I'll make it a little bigger. You see the advantages here. I no longer have to say it's X number of lines down in the skinny lines.
Is the video working now?
Yes. I can see you.
Oh, there you are.
Okay, here. L'chaim.
L'chaim. Okay, well, I'm also recording this on the side in all cases. Here, Tanu Rabbanan. You see where we are? Tanu Rabbanan. Tanu Rabbanan. We were talking about the Mishnah. The Mishnah had discussed the Seder Brachot of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. In other words, normally speaking, there are 19 Brachot in the Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei in air quotes. Three Brachot of Shevach that are always the same. Three Brachot of Hoda'ah at the end are always the same. And the middle are the 13 once upon a time, 12 bakashot, so 3 plus 13 plus 3 equals 19, which is how you get the Shemona Esrei. As we're familiar, on Yom Tov and Chag, the first three brachot and the last three brachot remain the same, and all of the bakashot in the middle are substituted for one bracha of Kedushat Hayom. On Shabbat, it's the bracha that ends, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbat. On Yom Tov, it's the bracha that ends, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael Vahazmanim. On Rosh Hashanah, in Musaf, there are the three brachot of Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofrot, each of which, as you know, contains 10 psukim, which relate to those three themes of God's kingship, remembrance that God remembers, he's mindful of everything that happens, he records everything that happens, he pays attention to everything that happens, and therefore we are accountable for our deeds on the Day of Judgment. And finally, Shofrot, 10 psukim that relate to the Tkiat Shofar, which is, of course, a major element of the day. And, of course, at least for Ashkenazim, the mainstream practice of Ashkenazim, in the Chazarat HaShatz, we blow the Shofar at the conclusion of each of those brachot. Some Ashkenazim and almost all Sfaradim blow the Shofar even in the silent Shemona Esrei, at the conclusion of when people get up to the end of that section. So if you have three brachot regular in the beginning and three brachot regular at the end and three brachot in the middle, the question is, what do you do with the bracha of Kedushat Hayom? Is it a bracha unto its own, in which case you would have 10 brachot in the Musaf, three at the beginning, three at the end, which never change. The three of Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofrot, and the one of Kedushat Hayom that discusses the sanctity of the day. And if so, where does that bracha go? So that was the machloket here in the Mishnah between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. as to where to place them. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, Kedushat Hayom Tokeya, Zichronot Tokeya, Shofrot Tokeya, Va'omer Avodah Hoda'a Birkat Kohanim Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Omer lo Rabbi Akiva, Im Eino Tokeya LaMalchiot, Lama Hu Maskir. In other words, if there are three rounds of Tkiyat Shofar, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says you say one on the bracha of Kedushat Hayom, so then you don't say it from Malchiot. So Rabbi Akiva says that can't be. And in fact, you know from our practice, how do we resolve this problem? No?
We do Kedushat Hayom and Malchiot.
And Malchiot are combined. So that the first bracha serves two purposes, right? And you end up still having only nine brachot. Nine brachot, but one of those brachot has, let's say, two themes, the Kedushat Hayom and the Malchiot. So the Gemara here, we had learned the first few lines already, but the Gemara here says, Tanu Rabbanan. I thought it was worthwhile reviewing because there's been a few things in between. And you might be forgiven for having forgotten the mission that we learned a week ago. No, not a week ago. Last week was Purim. 2 weeks ago. Okay, so in between event Purim and in between, you know, the apocalypse, the whole world is turned upside down. So that's why I review. Normally, I assume you all come to Shir perfectly on top of things. Tanu Rabbanan, Minayin She'omrim Avot. So the Gemara asks, what's the source? Like, what's the asmachta, as it were, for the bracha of Avot? For the bracha of Avot. Shnei Amar, Havu Lashem B'nei Elim. From Mizmor Kaftet, you know, which is the Mizmor that's so familiar to us from davening, Hovu Lashem B'nei Elim, give praise to Hashem, the B'nei Elim, the sons of the mighty. So who are we? We are the sons of the mighty. Who are the mighty? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. So that is the source or the remez or the asmachta for the idea that we begin the davening with the bracha of Avot. Uminayin she'omrim gvurot, and where do we know the bracha of gvurot? Right? Mechaye hametim. Shene emar, havu lashem kavod va'oz. What's oz? Oz is might, strength. So what's the expression of God's strength? Tchiyat hametim. Right? And as it's interesting, the bracha of mechaye hametim is not a bakasha, right? It's not that it's not formulated as a request that we're asking God, please bring us the end of days and the messianic era. That theme is represented elsewhere in the Amidah. But the second bracha is an expression of his praise, right? Even though it's a promise which has not yet been fulfilled because we haven't reached the era of Tchiyat HaMetim, but we praise God for his power as a Mechaye HaMetim. That's why, by the way, we say, and the nickname for that, you know, each of the brachot has a nickname. Like, you know, in some sidurim, it's even printed, like as a tiny headline above the, right, in the Koran, it's that way, in the Rinat Yisrael, it's that way. Each bracha has a nickname. So the first bracha is called Avot. The second bracha is called Givuot, God's, a description of God's might, praising God by describing his might. So his ability to revive the dead is a kind of, what do you call that? Synecdoche. You know, one word, a prat that describes the klal. You know that word, synecdoche? Like when you say, for example, if you say Wall Street. So when we say Wall Street, we don't mean that actually that rather small little alley in Lower Manhattan, right? But Wall Street, where the stock exchange has an address, Wall Street becomes a synonym, not a synonym, it becomes a synecdoche, right, to represent the entirety of the financial industry, right? Or to say the Knesset, right? We don't necessarily mean that building. We mean the the government of Israel, right? So that Michaye HaMetim becomes a synecdoche for God's power, right? It's like the most amazing thing we can maybe imagine him doing. But that's why we add the bracha of Mashiv Horachim Rid HaGoshem in that bracha. What does Mashiv Horachim Rid HaGoshem got to do with Tchiyat HaMetim? Right? It's another one of God's praises. Right?
It's like story with Eliyahu, right? Whether you can have the number of Mavtechot or something, and you can either have the Mavtech of Tchiyat HaMetim and the Mavtech of Shamim.
Right, right. Because these are all of his, this is the catalog of some of his, let's say, more impressive powers. So when you say Mashiv Horachim Rid HaGoshem, right, it's a description of God's abilities. It's not a request. The request is in V'tein Talu Matal Avracha, right? Mashiv Horachim Rid HaGoshem is a description. Look at right now. Look outside your window, right? That's Mashiv Horachim Rid HaGoshem, right? So how do you know, what's the source for Gvurot? That's the Pasuk, Havu Lashem Kavod V'Oz. Oz is power, his might. Uminayin she'omrim Kedusha, Kedushot, Ata Kadosh V'Shimcha Kadosh Baruch Ata Hashem HaKel HaKadosh, Shne'emar Havu Lashem Kavod Shemo. Right? His name, Hishtach Havu Lashem B'Hadrat Kodesh. Right? Hadrat Kodesh, Kavod Shemo, sanctifying his name, that's the source for the third bracha. Okay. This is a Gemara which appears elsewhere in Brachot. Uminayin she'omrim malchiot zichronot v'shofrot. So the first bracha applies to every single Amida Yidavin all year long. The first part of the Braisa applies to every single Amida you say all year long. The second part of the Braita refers to the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. How do you know what's the source for Malchiot Zichronot and Shofrot? So Rabbi Elazar Omer Dichtiv Shabbaton. This is a posuk. It's a posuk in Emor, right? B'chodesh Hashvi'i be'echad l'chodesh Shabbaton Zichron Shrua Mikra Kodesh. Right, that it's a Shabbaton. It's a day of Shvita Mimalacha. Right, Shabbaton Zek Dushat Hayom. Zichron, elu zichronot. Trua, elu shofrot. Mikra kodesh, kadshehu ba'asiyat melacha. What does it mean, kadshehu ba'asiyat melacha? In other words, you have to read the Gemara. It's you sanctify God, or you sanctify the day by refraining from the performance of work. You have to read in the parentheses, it's about the non-performance of Milacha. So wait a second, what's missing from the Pasuk?
Malchiot.
Right? Now, as you read the Pasuk, Shabbaton is Kedushat Hayom, Zichron is Zichronot. Okay, that's obvious. Trua Elu Shofrot. Obvious. Mikra Kodesh Kadshehu Basiat Milacha. Stop doing Milacha, that's how you sanctify the day. So Omar lo Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva's sister Rabbi Elazar, Mipnei Malo Ne'emar Shabbaton Shvut. So why are you reading the Pasuk that way? Say, read it backwards, right? Shvut Shebo, Ptach HaKatuv Tchila. Right? You flip it around. You're reading it all backwards. Why do you back end the Isser Malacha at the end? The Pasuk begins with what word? Shabbaton. What's a Shabbaton? It's not like when we were kids and we went and slept on the floor and ate bad food. Right? Shabbaton means shvut. It means stop doing malacha. This is water. I don't want you to be choshed.
It looks like vodka.
Yeah. Ela, Shabbaton, kadshehu basiat malacha. So read the pasuk this way. Shabbaton means don't do malacha. Zikaron, elu zichronot. Trua, elu shofrot. Mikra Kodesh, zo Kedushat Hayom. So, minayin she'omrim malchiot? How do we know that you say malchiot? Tanya Rebbe Omer, ani Hashem Elokeichem. Right, that's the continuation of the Pasuk. Uvechodesh Hashvi'i, zu malchut. There's a pasuk zani Hashem elokeichem that 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 uva chodesh hashvi'i etc etc. Chodesh hashvi'i is what?
Malchut.
Well, it's Tishrei, right?
Tishrei.
So when do you have to do? When do you have to declare him the melech in the chodesh hashvi'i? Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Omer, eino tzarich. This is not necessary. Harehu Omer, v'hayu lachem zikaron lifnei elokeichem. She'ein Talmud lomar ani Hashem elokeichem. Uma Talmud lomar ani Hashem elokeichem. The Torah doesn't have to say ani Hashem elokeichem, right? It's redundant. So why does the Torah say ani Hashem elokeichem? Ze b'na'av. It's in order to form a binyan av. You know what's a binyan av? Right? It's to create to build a model, right? It sets up the model, the binyan av, or a paradigm. Ze binyan av lekol makom shne'emar bo zichronot yiyu malchiyot imahen. So whenever there's zichronot, so then implicit in there has to first be malchiyot. Because by what, it's like, I mean, lahavdil, like by what right does the government have to now spy on us in, you know, through our devices?
Don't start me off.
So, I mean, what was, David, what was the first thing you thought of when Netanyahu said, and in 30 days we will lay down this power to preserve the democracy?
The thing I thought of?
Yeah.
1984.
I mean, I figured if they were doing it already, and it's just kind of funny because they're so
I see. No. It's Senator Palpatine in the Clone Wars, right? In other words, he says, "If you give me these emergency powers, you know, I will lay them down after the rebellion is put down, and instead we make a grand empire to rule the galaxy." So the point is by what right does the government have? By what right is there zichronot that someone holds us accountable? Because he's the melech, or the rosh memshala, or the authority, or the emperor, or the Caesar, or the whatever it is, right? So that's implicit in malchiot is zichronot. Veheichad omra kedushat hayom. Okay, so Beseder, we're back to the beginning. So you have Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofrot. But where do you place the bracha of, right? Melech, how does the bracha go? Melech al kol haaretz, Mekadesh, Yisrael, v'yom hazikaron. So first of all, it didn't have to be that way. It could have been, the bracha could have ended. You could have said Malchiyot, and you could have said Bruchat Hashem, Melech al kol haaretz. Period. And then Kedushat Hayom, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron, could have been its own bracha. It could have been connected to one of the other brachot. So, Heichad Omra, Kedushat Hayom. So, Tanya, Rebbe Omer, hold on a second. Rebbe Omer, Im HaMalchiot, Omra, Im HaMalchiot. Rebbe says you say it with Malchiot. That's our shita. That's what we do. Ma matzinu b'chol makom b'rivi'it. Afkan b'rivi'it. So why does Rebbe say that you say the Kedushat Hayom synthesized with Malchiot?
Kedushat Hayom is always the fourth bracha.
Because it's always the fourth bracha. It's always the fourth bracha. It's always the first bracha to follow the opening three. So obviously it has to be in its normal place. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, im zichronot omra. No, you say it in im zichronot, in the second of the special three brachot. Why? Ma matzinu b'chol makom b'emtza. Afkan b'emtza. In other words, they agree in principle. They just disagree in application. What are they both saying? What are they
Can
both?
You scroll down the page because I don't know. For me, at least.
Oh, hold on.
Is that something we can change, or?
You should be able to scroll it yourself.
Oh, okay, fine.
Scroll it.
Yeah, I did. Okay.
So what you see the cursor is so what hold on.
Both green that where it is usually, that's where it stays.
Right, in other words, exactly. They both agree that the Kedushat Hayom should be in its normal position. What's its normal position? It's the bracha that follows the first three, which is always what in relation to the entirety of the Amidah?
The middle.
The middle. So the question is it significant that it follows Kedushat Hashem, and therefore it has to be number four, or is it significant that it's always in the middle? It's in a normal Amidah, like on Shabbat or any other Yontif, it's the same thing. The fourth position is always the middle position when you only have seven, three on each side, right? But here, suddenly you have three other brachot in the middle. So does it remain in the slot number four, or does it go into slot number five, where it therefore remains in the middle? Hold on a second. What did I do? And then, how do you resolve a question like this? So Gemara says, "V'kidshehu betin et hashana b'usha." Right, the Sanhedrin after they left Yavne went up to the Galil, and at one point they were in Usha. We saw those a few weeks ago. We saw the transference. Yarad Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. What does it mean, Yarad Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? He went to America?
Yarad Tefila.
Yarad Tefila. Yarad Lefnei Ateva. He was the Shliach Tzibur. Lefnei Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. In the presence of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Va'asa k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And he davened according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that Malchiot and Kedushat that Kedushat Hayom is combined with Malchiot. So Omar Lo Rabbi Shimon, Lo Hayu Noah Ginkain B'Yavne. Right, that was not the practice in Yavne. Leyom Hasheni, which I'll say means the next day. Yarad Rabbi Chanina Beno. Shel Rabbi Yossi Hagalili, va'asak Rabbi Akiva, and he davened differently. How did he? What was Rabbi Akiva's position? Right. No, wait. I'm sorry. I said that wrong. No. I said that right. Right.
You said it right.
Right. Right. And he put Malchiot. And they put Malchiot with Kedushat Hayom. Right. Omer b'Shimon Gamliel, kach hayu nogin b'Yavne. That's the way they used to do it in Yavne. Lameimra, de Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, ke Rabbi Akiva, svirelei. But wait a second, didn't Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel disagree with Rabbi Akiva? Right? In other words, what did Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel say?
Together with
he says it together with Zichronot. So now they daven, Rabbi Akiva daven, they daven in Usha, and they follow Rabbi Akiva's position that it's with Malchiot, and he says, oh, Taka, that's the way they used to do it in Yavne. But that's not his position. Right? V'ha'omer Rabbi Akiva Malchiot in Kedush Tayom. So Amar Lohu, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer Kedush Tayom im Zichronot. So Amar Lohu, Omer Rabbi Zera, Lomar Shetokin Lamalchiot. Right? So no. It's not a question of how you combine the brachot. It has to do with where you say the tkiot, where you blow the tkiot. It's also possible when he said, oh, that's the way they used to do it in Yavne. But he disagreed with that as well. And as you can't infer from the fact that he's appears nostalgic for the Minhag of Yavne, to mean that he necessarily agrees with that position. So then the Gemara asks another simple question. L'yom ha-sheni yerad Rabbi Chanina, where on the next day Rabbi Chanina davened, so my sheni, what, you're saying there were 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? So ilei me-yom tov sheni, so if you mean that it was the second day of Rosh Hashanah, la-memra de-ibruha le-elul, you mean that they made Elul a two-day Yom Tov, meaning they made Elul a chodesh muberet, so that there'd be 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Va'omer Rabbi Chinina bar Kahana miyemot Ezra ve'elach lo matzinu Elul meubar. There was a tradition that it never happened, that Elul was always chaser, that at least in the Bet Din, where the story is taking place, that in the seat of the Sanhedrin, where the story is taking place, Rosh Hashanah would have only been 1 day. So what does it mean, the next day? Omar Rav Chisda, my sheni, l'yom sheni, l'shana haba. It doesn't mean the next day. It means the next day, the next time there was a Rosh Hashanah, which was a year later. Okay. There's a Yerushalmi that says that this machloket between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva was a split, was a kind of regional split, that in Yehuda they followed the shita of Rabbi Akiva, but in the Galil they followed the shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So that explains how there could be such a machlokes about, you know, that either 1 day and the next day or 1 year and the next year people were davening. You know, it's not like us, right? In other words, like you go to shul on Yom Kippur, and the chazan, the gabbai, has to announce which musaf the shlich tzibur is going to daven, because there are two piyutim of the Seder Avoda. Right, so depending upon whether the chazan's davening nusach Ashkenaz or nusach Sfard, whether he's going to daven this piyut or that piyut. So the gabbai announces, and most of our machzorim now print both of them, you know, with whatever the other one is printed in the back, because you go to a shul, you don't know what the seder avoda, which piyut of the seder avoda they're going to say. So how could it be here? Which this is a much more significant difference, right? Which bracha you combine or when you blow the shofar. So apparently it was a regional difference that in Yehuda they followed Rabbi Akiva and in the Galil they followed the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and it makes sense that in Usha they would follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. But in Yavne they would have followed the opinion of Rabbi Akiva.
But they were talking about Yavne as the sort of authoritative source, no? Like that was the place, so why would...
No, but in other words, the Sanhedrin was in Yavne for a certain number of years, and then it moves up to Usha, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, you know, he remembers the good old days in Yavne. Right, it's like we go to shul. We go to everybody goes to shul, and depending on who the chazan is, you know, this is particularly true on the Yom. You know, it's like significant. The story takes place on Rosh Hashanah because these feelings that people have are particularly sharp on the Yom Neroyim. So you say, "Oh, I love that chazan. He uses that niggin that we used to sing in yeshiva, or that chazan. He sings it just like when I was a kid growing up in New Jersey." Right, so that's what Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is saying. He says, "Oh, that's the way they used to do it in Yavne." Whether or not Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel agreed, in other words, this is not a matter of which piyut they're singing or which tune they're using. This is a halachic matter, right? When to combine the brachot or when to blow the shofar, right? So there were different customs, there were different practices. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, "Oh, he does it like they used to in Yavne." But the split between Yavne and Usha, it, again, might be, there's the point of the Yerushalmi, is that it might have been different regional minhagim. So that when the Sanhedrin moved up to Usha, the practice differed. Then you need another drink? Who coughed?
I did, sorry.
I hope into your elbow. The next Mishnah says, Ein pochatin me'aseret malchiot, me'asera malchiot, me'asera zichronot, me'asera shofot. The minimum number of psukim in each of the brachot is 10. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Omer, im amar shalosh shalosh mikulan yatsa. B'dieved, if you only said 3 psukim from each of the, if you said only 3 psukim from each of the brachot, you're yotze. So the Gemara says, I'm scrolling down here. Hani asara, malchiot keneged mi. What is the symbolism of the 10 psukim of malchiot? Right? Keneged mi. Who were they instituted? To what do they correspond? So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Keneged asara hilulim she'amar David, b'sefer Tehilim. So it corresponds to the 10 utterances of praise that David made in Tehilim. So the Gemara says, hilulim tuvahavu. There were a lot more than 10 hilulim, praises of God, in all of Tehilim. All right. Hanach tichtiv behu haleluhu bateka shofar. No, so we're talking specifically about the ten hallelujahs that appear in Mizmor Kufnun, in the 150th, in the final Mizmor of Tehillim. That's the 10 that serves as the proof text for 10 psukim of Malchiot. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Keneged Aseret HaDibrot. You're looking for symbolism of 10? I got a better one for you. The 10 commandments. Shne Amar Lo Lamoshe B'Sinai. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Keneged Asara Ma'amarot Shebahem Nivra Ha'olam. Right? The ten utterances, the 10 acts of speech with which God created the world. Hey Ninhu. Right? What are they? What are the 10 Ma'amarot that Hashem created the world? Vayomer. Right? Then he lists them, right? In other words, when Hashem says, every time Hashem says Vayomer Debreshit, right? Tishahavu. So if you go and you count, you see there were 10 times Hashem says Vayomer. Right? So the Gemara says Breshit Nami Ma'amarhu. The first word Breshit, the title, the opening, the caption, that's also one of the ma'amarot. What does that mean? Dichtiv bidvar Hashem shamayim na'asu. With the word of Hashem, He made the heavens. Right? In other words, all of creation comes about through God's speech act. Right? That speech, this is related to things we've spoken about in the past, particularly when we learned a couple of years ago. Remember we learned the Isha Emunah, Rabbi Soloveitchik's Lonely Man of Faith?
Mm-hmm. So, it wasn't that long ago.
A year ago.
Oh, was it? So the truth is I had occasion...
Right before Shoshanah.
Right. So yesterday...
Right.
No, right before Shoshanah, a year ago.
No, Masechta or Shoshanah.
Oh, yeah, right.
Okay. But before we started Masechta Shomer.
So I happen to be teaching it now in a Midrashah, and yesterday we learned together. I mean, it was partially online, partially in front of a room of, in the good old days when you could have 10 people in one room, you know, spread out. You remember those days? I was listening, completely unrelated to the current situation, I was listening to some podcast. I was talking about isolation and these experiments where people you know, like, what was that? That biosphere experiment where people, like, went and, like, lived in this enclosed thing. It was a kind of, like, Mars landing test. And this other guy that went into a cave for a year, you know, completely cut off. And, like, and it's sort of how very quickly when you're in isolation or you're in, what do they call that in prison?
Solitary
confinement. You know, I think Sharansky even writes about this in his memoir, how quickly you lose track of the passage of time. Right? You know, your circadian rhythm completely gets thrown off, or maybe it resets to whatever the state of nature would have it be. But you completely lose track of time. So this guy goes into this cave for 300 days, and when they take him out, he said, "Why are you getting me early? I've only been here for 180 days. Like, and as he was keeping some kind of track, you know, I don't know, by what he, marking off like on the wall what he thought were the days, and he completely lost track of the passage of time. So, like, if you ask me, like, how long have we been in the isolation so far? So, like, I get, wait, today's Sunday, today's Tuesday, what day of the week is? So I was teaching Lowly Man of Faith yesterday, and that, remember that passage about,
it was a year ago,
right? So you remember that passage about community, that Adam the first and Adam the second each seek a different type of community. Adam the first, the majestic man who is tasked with Vikiv Shuha, to subdue, to subjugate, to conquer the world, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before. He seeks after the natural work community, right? Which is a completely utilitarian. Society is formed on one hand, it's formed for the, you know, just the most basic fact that it's hard to get anything done all by yourself, right? And if you want to, you know, seek out new life and new civilizations, if you want to cure disease, if you want to build bridges, it's handy to have other people, right? And Adam the second seeks out the redemptive community. He seeks community, which is first built around the model of marriage as the kind of garin, the nucleus of community. He seeks out marriage and community in order to alleviate his suffering, alleviate his loneliness. The Isha Emunah. So I reflected on what it means to study the Isha Emunah HaBoded from within Bidud. Right? And the role of community. And you see this whole thing with the virtual minyanim, and even that before that, when we could still go to shul, you know, the strives that people were making to keep the minyanim going and to make minyanim of 10 people exactly and etc., because it's just the most natural thing that people have, to have human interaction, to have connection, and for people that seek the transcendent, to people that live in a world of religious commitment and religious experience, you know, the idea that part of community is to serve towards that function of connecting to the divine, I think we see it and feel it in a very profound way this week. So I mention this because when Rabbi Soloveitchik talks about creativity, so it's connected to speech, right? The idea that we are creative and that our speech is the mark of humans' creativity, and the degree to which speech is a function of Tzelem Elokim, that we are created in God's divine image, not that God has five fingers, but that speech is the tool through which creation happens. You see that here, right? That Bereshit itself is an act of speech. But speech here means not dibur, right? It means an utterance of creativity. So that's how you get to 10. The 9 times it says Vayomer, and the word Bereshit itself, the Bri'ah itself, is also one of the Ma'amarot. This idea that the Mishnah talks about, that you have 10 psukim for Malchiot and 10 psukim for Zichronot and 10 psukim for Shofrot. So the the Gemara gives all these different sources for what are the what is the reason for 10, either the hallelujahs in Tehillim or the which, by the way, why of all the mizmorim in Tehillim, why would that be the one that's chosen to look for a symbolic number, the last mizmor in Tehillim? Because of shofar, because the reference to shofar, and or the Aseret Hadibros, which are obviously there is shofar there is shofar at Har Sinai, and then finally the creation of the world, which why would you look to the creation of the world?
Rosh Hashanah.
Because of Rosh Hashanah, at least according to the Shita that B'tishrei Nivra Olam. So what are the significance of, you know, these three opinions? How do these three opinions, Tehillim, Aseret Dibrot, and the 10 utterances of creation, how do they fit into, I mean, you know, you can you think of anything else that has 10 in Judaism?
Yeah. A virtual minion?
A minion, a virtual, whatever it is. There's no end to similar 10. Ten fingers and Eida, whatever it is. Ten makot, right? So why these three things? So in the Sefer Ikarim of Rav Yosef Albo, you know, Rav Yosef Albo is this 13th century Jewish philosopher. He writes the Sefer Ikarim, which is less studied and less well known, but after the Rambam. Because, you know, everything gets overshadowed by the Rambam. After the Rambam, it's really one of the most significant works of medieval Jewish thought. After the Rambam, after Rav Sadia, let's say. The Rambam very famously lists the 13 Ikarei Emunah. Rav Yosef Albo reduces it to 3. Which is, you know, convenient if you feel stuck by some of the Ikarei Emunah of the Rambam, because there are other opinions. Even though the Rambam won the day, the Rambam became the kind of defining view of what Jewish belief is. But it's important to remember that there are other views of what Jewish belief is. So the Sefer Ikarim says that the three basic Ikarei Emunah, principles of faith, are number one, belief in God. Right, but what Rav Yosef Albo did was he like created 3, but under each category, it was like avot and toladot, right? In other words, there was like a major theme, but it contains other things. So belief in God, but also belief that God created the world. So number one is belief in God as creator of the world. Number two, revelation, that Hashem gave the Torah and commanded us in mitzvot. And number three, schar va'onesh, that there are consequences, that he punishes us, and included in this is the idea that one is obligated to believe in Olam Haba, and that if one doesn't believe in Olam Haba, the consequence is that you don't get it. Meaning this is a sif of the belief in Olam Haba, in reward and punishment, a belief in Hashgacha, that God controls the world. Without Hashgacha, without a sense that God controls the world, so it's difficult to think about reward and punishment, and that He is generally supervising us and taking track of what we're doing. So that's what the Sefer Ikarim says, or the 3 Ikarei Emunah. So he says on Rosh Hashanah, they correspond to the Malchiot Zichronot and Shofrot. In other words, it lines up perfectly. How? In Malchiot, what are we saying?
It expresses a belief in God, that there's a God.
Belief in God. God is the king. Zichronot.
Hashgacha.
Hashgacha, reward and punishment. There's accountability. And Shofrot is connected to Matan Torah. Right? Right? The shofar of Har Sinai is the symbol of Matan Torah, is the symbol of revelation. So it's also possible that these themes are represented in Kriya Shema as well. How do you see them in Kriya Shema? So the first parasha, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, is Malchiot, is the first Ikar, that there is a God. The second parasha,
Scharvonish.
And the third parasha,
Lichora would be revelation, but I'm not sure how that fits in.
Plus, it's all mitzvot. Right? It's all mitzvot. It's right? It's, you know. There's tzitzit as a kind of symbol for the pneumatic. The tzitzit is the visual mnemonic for Kabbalat all mitzvot. Right? So that's revelation. That's being mitzuvim. Right? So you see how it all works out. How it all works out very, very nicely. So the Gemara goes on. What time is it? We have time. Okay. So the Gemara goes on. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer imamar shalosh mekulan yatsa. If you say three bidieved, if you only say three psukim for each of the three brachot, you're yotze. You're supposed to say 10, but bidieved, if you say three, you're yotze. So iboy lehu. Excuse me. Iboyelahu. An information question. Where's Steve? Steve, we miss you. Iboyelahu. An information question. Hechi Ketani. Hechi Ketani. What's the point here? What is he teaching here? Shalosh min haTorah, shalosh min haNeviim, shalosh min haKetuvim. Dahavu Teisha. So does he mean that you need three psukim from Torah, three from Navi, and three from Ketuvim, which are nine? V'ika benayhu chada. And the machlokas is whether or not there's a tenth. Now, what does he say when he says shalosh shalosh mikulan? Does he mean you need three times three in each of the three, as opposed to ten? What do we do? What kind of psukim do we have?
We have three from Torah, three from Nevi'im, three from Ketuvim, followed by the tenth one, Torah, I think.
From Torah, except you flipped it. It's three from Torah. Three from Tehillim, Ketuvim, okay. But not just Ketuvim, three from Tehillim, three from Nevi'im, and then a concluding one from Torah. What's unusual about that?
Ketuvim usually, you assume, would come after Nevi'im.
Yeah, the order we usually have is Ta-Nach, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, in descending order of sanctity, of, right? Here it's reversed. Rav Huttner actually has a nice piece, which maybe we'll get to next week. It explains why, for the purposes of Musaf, Tehillim would take precedent over Nevi'im. And it has something to do with the difference between a written text and a spoken text, and the Kedusha that each of them have.
It also says, Gemara mentions it here in the order of Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim.
Yeah. Nachon. V'iga b'nai yuchad. Oh, Dilma, echad min haTorah, echad min haNeviim, v'echad min haKetuvim, dahavin lehu shalosh, v'iga b'nai hu tuva. What is he saying? Does he mean that you would have three, from each three times, meaning in each section you'd have nine brachot, and then the machloket between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is nine enough, or do you need to have 10? Or is it you have one from each of the three, and therefore the machloket is three enough instead of ten? Tashma. So let's try to figure this out. That's it, David. It's interesting that here the Gemara mentions Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim instead of the order that we actually have it, which is Torah, Ketuvim, and Nevi'im, but I'll leave that for the time being. So Tashma. V'tanya, ein pochatin mi'asara malchiot, mi'asara zichronot, mi'asara shofrot. Seems pretty clear you need ten of each. V'im amar sheva mikulan yotza, keneged sheva riki'in. So in this brisa, there's a bidi'eved, if you have seven, you're yotze. And seven corresponds to the seven heavens. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri amar ha-pochet lo yifchot misheva. V'im amar shalosh mikulan yatsa, keneged Torah, Nevi'im, uchtuvim. V'omri, so it sounds like what? Sounds like only three. V'omar la keneged Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. What's the symbolism of three? Is it? We had this, by the way. Where did we see this before? The machloket between whether three symbolizes Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, or whether Torah symbolizes Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. Ben is quickly ruffling through his notebook to see if he can find it. In Megillah, right? We learned Megillah before we learned Rosh Hashanah. So in Megillah, the question, why? What's the symbolism of the three Olim, Aliyot LaTorah, on a weekday? Right? So that was there. So Rav Huna Omar Shmuel, Halacha K'Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, Halacha K'Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, that bidyeved, if you say only three for each three psukim for each bracha you yotze. But of course, that's trying to determine what the bidyeved halacha is. None of us have ever done this. We've only davened ten psukim for each, and that's what it says in our sidurim. But I guess if like you found out your sidur had a mistake, and one of the psukim was missing, and you didn't say all ten, you'd be safe. As long as you said at least one pasuk from Torah, one pasuk from Navi, and one pasuk from Ketuvim. Okay, we will call it a night there. I hope next week, please God, we'll meet together in person. And in all cases, we should all daven that everyone should be healthy, and all of our loved ones should be healthy, and all of Am Yisrael should be healthy, and Kol Yoshevei Tevel should be healthy, and we should Ubila Hakarona Lanetzach, and we should all be well. Okay.
Amen.
Take care, fellas.
Allow me to take a moment of your very, very precious and busy time to just offer just some reflections as the president of the RCA to all of our chaverim. It's interesting, I'm not used to giving shir from my home office, and Sometimes I'm not even aware of the environment in which I'm speaking on a video. Few people have asked me the question of why do I have Superman framed behind me. It's actually from Action Comics number 50 from 1942. It's a facsimile of the cover of that comic book. And yes, I am a nerd, but there's a reason why I have that picture there. It's to remind me what we're supposed to be doing. It's a picture of Superman in a coal mine holding up a broken beam that's about to collapse and cause the mine to crash in on all of the miners that are standing around him in fear. And I think sort of reminds us, especially at this time, of what our role is for our respective kahilas. We're there to hold up the broken beams of our communities and just allow people to feel that sense of security that we're there to be a safety net for them. It's very important on the one hand for we as Rabbanim to validate the fears and concerns of our members, but at the same time be a voice of calm and reassurance. And the one resounding message that I think we all have to give to our respective kahilas is we're going to be okay, we are going to get through this. And specifically, the reason we're going to get through this is because we are a family, and we're going to take care of each other. And I know that that's the message that I'm seeing from so many of you online, and I just want to encourage you to keep that message consistently, and it's getting through, and it's really, really quite helpful. Specifically, I think that we as Rabbanim should be encouraging the younger members of our shul to reach out to our older senior members to make sure that they are cared for, and to do shopping and run errands for them. I know a number of shuls, including my own, are working on doing a formal system of getting that done through people signing up making shiduchim and pairing up younger people and older people. That's certainly one of the efforts that your shul should be involved with if you have. It's important to remind people, especially now that it's before Pesach,